wonderful, wonderful doctrine that we hold is a difficult word to say, but it's a perspicuity of the Scripture, that the Scripture is clear. That even though that word is difficult to say, it was Luther's hope that we could just translate it into the vernacular and get it into the hands of every plowboy and maid sweeping the floor. And wouldn't it clear up so many difficulties if we just read the Scripture? This passage that we just read sort of brings to light some of the errant things that we believe around Christmas. And so we understand a lot, sometimes joke about the wise men not being there, and we're not knowing if there's three or not, but it's important to read Scripture carefully. So let us ask the Holy Spirit to bless us now as we look at the Word of God. We thank you, our Father, for this day. We pray that your Spirit will lead us. We thank you that we can come together and confess that we are all students. Confess that none of us have arrived. We come together looking to you and you alone to be our teacher. We come together with hearts that are made ready, minds that are open, and to listen to the Spirit, that your word would break forth. And may all of our attitudes be that of the virgin who said, "Be it unto me according to your word." May that be true for us, not only in the time of sermon to come, but in the living of our lives. To your glory we pray. Amen. Epiphany simply means to reveal. And if we could say it one way, it's shown by revealing it to the Gentiles, and that's why we heard about the reading that Barry read. But it basically means Christ is for everyone. And you have a role to play in that. Christ is for everyone. It was prophesied by John the Baptist. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It was demonstrated, as Jen read to us today, by these Persian wise men who came, having seen the star, they came to the house and they worshipped him. It's interesting to me that the only people of influence and importance associated with the birth of Jesus, the first thing they did is they shed the gifts. They gave him frankincense, they gave him myrrh. They gave him all they had. We'll read in Revelation when we get there that this prophecy that Christ is for everyone will be revealed. In Revelation 4 and Revelation 7, we're told that he will come from the four corners of the earth, a multitude of languages. Shame on us, which is often the case, in churches where we sort of have an attitude. Preachers know this phrase, you may have not heard it. You ever heard the phrase, "us four and no more"? It's a mentality that Jesus likes us. He likes people that look like us. He likes people that look like me, and he came for people like me. The truth of the matter is, the Epiphany tells us he came for the world. He came for us all. And we have a task in this. As we begin this new year, I want to remind us of our jobs. As a pastor, I'm, as Scripture would say, the shepherd. But a shepherd simply has to do two things. He has to teach the sheep, or feed the sheep, and he has to love and care and protect the sheep. But you know what shepherds do not do? Shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Sheep give birth to sheep. Or as the Scripture would say, my job, our job as pastors is to train the church so the church can go out and take Epiphany. Take the message that Christ is for everyone to where you are. You'll go to places this coming week that I will not. You will minister in settings that I'm not there, but you are. And the light that is Jesus Christ is to be carried by you into those four corners of the world. the word Christ, Christian, means Christ bearer. You bear Christ where you go. Does that frighten you? Does it frighten you for me to say that you are the one who should take Christ where you go? It's an overwhelming task. It's daunting. And when we are overwhelmed, we turn to prayer. And I'd like to read a prayer for us. It's in a book that I bought 20-some years ago. And it's full of prayers written in 1962. It's called Altar Prayers. I'd like to pray this prayer. You join with me. It's for Epiphany, the Feast of Epiphany. And I'll use a phrase in here that you'll see in your bulletin that will structure my sermon for this morning. So let's pray together, and I think you'll capture and hear this phrase that will structure my thoughts. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, eternal God, who alone and forever is the power and the kingdom and the glory, and to whom only belongs authority over all the earth and universe, over all forces and energies, over all suns and stars, over all intelligences and knowledge, we give thee thanksgiving and praise. We thank thee that by the leading of a star, thou didst bring to the feet of our Lord the wise men from the east to manifest thy light to all the world. Lead the nations of the earth to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, and grant wisdom to all rulers of men that they may serve him in love and fear. Prosper and bless thy word and the preaching of the gospel, that multitudes may come to faith in Jesus Christ, that he may be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And do all ministers, missionaries, catechists, and Christian workers with heavenly power and grace, that their labor in the word may be abundantly and fruitfully blessed. Grant all who hear thy word faith to believe it, strength to obey it, and courage to profess it in word and deed. Give to thy Son the nations for his inheritance, and overcome and confound all enemies of his truth. Overthrow all powers of darkness that bind men in the chains of superstition and ignorance, and all forces of denial and unbelief that assault men's minds. Grant help to thy servants who here and in distant lands wage a holy war, until at last every man will bow and every tongue proclaim that Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. What I'd like to look at is that phrase that you heard and you see in the bulletin, that we pray for God, that we may have faith to believe it, strength to obey it, and courage to profess it. Let's look at each of these in turn. We need, as we approach this coming year, to have faith to believe His promise. We don't get sight regarding His promise. We don't cling to evidence. For Hebrews would tell us that faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I like the word reliance better than faith. Because you have faith in certain things, but you can have a faith in something and be one step removed from it. You can have faith in things, but reliance is more like you leaning on something with all your weight. And our call is to make sure that what we lean upon is worthy of our trust. For if we're leaning upon something that is not strong enough to hold our weight, we'll fall. There's a story told that at the turn of the previous century, there was a tightrope walker who strung a cable across Niagara Falls. He was a Frenchman. He gathered quite a large group of people watching him, and he walked across the cable, and everyone cheered. And then he pushed a wheelbarrow across the fall, and everyone cheered. And he asked a simple question. He said, how many of you think that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow, walk it across the cable, and get to the other side? And everyone cheered. Then he asked a very simple question. Who will volunteer? Who will volunteer to get into the wilderness? Brothers and sisters, when we say we have faith to believe, it's not just having faith, yes, I think you can do it. It's saying, Lord, I will take all that I have, every hope, every dream, I will take everything about me, and I will place it in your wilderness. I'm going to lean upon you. I'm not going to try to figure it out on my own. The wisest man that ever lived, who was wise because he made so many mistakes. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you think, to be the wisest man that ever lived, this man was just plumb stupid. But he learned experience about what didn't work by making bad decisions. And in the first his book of Proverbs, the third chapter, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. You're not going to understand everything that happens in 2020. As you look back, I've heard mixed emotions. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I say, how many of you had a good year in 2019? Some of you had great years. Some of you had terrible years. But here's what I would say. There's a whole lot that happened in 2019 you don't understand. I don't understand. There's a whole lot that's going to happen in this coming year that we will not understand. There's a whole lot going on right now around the world that we don't understand. And the scripture says, have faith to believe His promise. Don't lean upon your own understanding, for your understanding will fail. My understanding will fail. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct yourselves. Whether you think it, feel it, or not, He will have faith to believe. The second thing we're told in this prayer, or we're asked in this prayer, is to have strength to obey His promise. The word there for obey is to treasure. It's the word to hold dear, to hear, to listen, to treasure. We're told in Timothy, that fear was not given to us by the Lord. As we approach this time of year, you may have points of fear. Health fears, financial fears, job fears, domestic fears. And we're told that fear does not come from God. Fear is unbelief that the evil one puts into our hearts by our focusing not on the promise of God, but on the ways and circumstances that are walking around. There was a story told, quote, one more circus story that I like to hear. It's also a true story. And it was a lion tamer, a tiger tamer. And he was in this circus. And the way it was told, I read it after the fact, is that he was doing his act. He was in this cage, locked in with tigers. And he had his whip, and he had his proverbial chair, and he's commanding the tigers to go through all of their routine. And all of a sudden, the whole crowd under the tent heard a pop, and a transformer had gone out, and they're in pitch darkness. Now, I didn't know this until I read about it. Tigers have night vision, so they can see him. And a few minutes later, the lights came back on. He went on with his act. The next night, he was being interviewed, and that's what I read on TV. And the interviewer said, what did you feel when the lights went out? He said, I was instantaneously fearful. And if you say you would not be instantaneously fearful, you'll lie about something else. Because you would be fearful if you're in a locked cage, and with tigers and the light goes. And how often we feel that that's the way life feels for us. We're in a locked cage with tigers and the light goes. But he said, it dawned on me after my initial fear that the tigers didn't know I couldn't see them. They didn't know that I couldn't see them. So he said, I just kept speaking the same words that I spoke to them in the light. Brothers and sisters, the strength, the treasure, His promise will come from you staying in the darkness the same word that you nullified. You come together. I long for this worship service today. Like an island between two separate weeks, we come to this place of solace where we remind each other in the light what we need to continue to speak when we're in darkness. That's our strength. And then the third thing is we pray with courage to proclaim His promise. The word there, courage, is zeal or passion. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Let me give you a scripture that I'm going to claim for this coming year, and I hope you would too. Turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter. If you're turning to Philippians 3, I will remind you that we're in the month of January. And January is named after the Roman god Janus. You may remember Janus is that two-headed god. One head looking backwards, but the other more prominent face looking forward. Janus was the Roman god of beginnings. And we're beginning a new year with all the opportunities that we'll have. And this is what we need to hear in the beginning of this year. Let's begin reading with me from verse 8. Philippians 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss. The word is rubbish, something to be left behind. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As you go from here through this year, my prayer for you and my prayer for us, my prayer for our church, is that we will strive, we will diligently press forward to that calling, that we will have the courage, the passion to proclaim the gospel. You'll have opportunities to do that with people you run into. And I want to close with some words that seem antithetical, but in the antithetical quality of these words is the gospel. Peter Jones was had been a pastor. He passed away now, but for a long time he was a professor and a chaplain at Harvard Divinity School, Harvard University. And he gave the graduating class their lecture in 1998. And I'd like to read a portion of Peter Jones' lecture that he gave to these students in 1998. And may they serve as a reminder for us as we begin this coming year. This is Dr. Jones' quote. You are going to be sent out here for good, and most of you aren't ready to go. The president is about to bid you into the fellowship of educated men and women, and you know just how dumb you really are. And worse than that, the world, and your parents in particular, are going to expect that you will be among the brightest and the best. But you know that you can no longer fool all the people, even some of the time. By noontime today, you will be out of here. By tomorrow, you will be history. By Saturday, you'll be toast. That's a fact. No exceptions, no extensions. Nevertheless, there's reason to hope. The future is God's gift to you. God will not let you stumble or fall. God has brought you this far to this place not to abandon you or leave you alone. The God of Israel never stumbles, never sleeps, never goes on sabbatical. Therefore, my beloved and bewildered young friends, do not be afraid, for you don't go alone. You go in God. That's epiphany. In the darkness of this world, the light is shining. We go in God. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's found on page 881 if you need to avail yourself of that. Let us confess the one faith given to the saints. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born from the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our hands to praise.
Revealing God, you sent the light of a star, and in that light we see the truth of who you are and the truth of who we are. Like the Magi, you call us to worship you, but like the Magi, we mistake where you truly belong and where we truly belong. Yet in Revelation, you direct us to yourself, and in Incarnation, you meet us in yourself. You become what we are that we might become what you are. And so you draw us to the company where your angels gather around your eternal throne, singing their hymn of unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of wonder, as the Magi brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so we bring these gifts of bread and wine. In those gifts, we see your grief at the way we crucified your Son, the Holy One among us, but also the wonder of how you raised him to be our King in glory forever. Send down your Holy Spirit that we may discover what it means to be of you and in you, that this bread of honest toil and this wine of joyous celebration may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
God of wisdom, as the Magi brought gold, bring your whole church, living and departed, to the vision of your glory. As the Magi brought frankincense, infuse all who seek you with the beauty of your holiness. As the Magi brought myrrh, embrace all who suffer, until the time comes when you flood the whole creation with justice and mercy. And this banquet restores us in your image, surround us with your company, prepare us for your freedom, that we may come to resemble your Son, through whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. The gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table, promised in the Old Testament that I will prepare a table for you. In the presence
of your enemies.
I will prepare them like the rock that follows the Israelites in their wandering, so I will follow you. I will never leave nor forsake you. I will be for you true blood and true body, the gift of God, the gift of heaven that has pursued you and will uphold you. At the Lord's table, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and receive that which He has promised to give you, His very body and blood, for the living of your days. After you receive and practice by intention, please come to the altar. Claim this coming year that you will walk in faith and life. There are cards there. If you want to have a prayer for someone, send them a reminder that you said a prayer for them. And let us come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together.